Pull up a chair, the stories begin. Patrick and Randy are letting you in. From the desert lights where the big names are, it's Big Conversations, Little Bar.
Welcome to Big Conversations, Little Bar, the Coachella Valley's favorite podcast, recorded live at Skip Page's Little Bar in Palm Desert. Get ready for another fascinating hour of meeting people who make the desert city such a spectacular place to be. Now, nestled in their corner booth perch, well lubricated and raring to chat, here's Patrick Evans and Randy Florence.
Well, thank you very much, Howard. We are back here at Skip Page's Little Bar for another edition of Big Conversations, Little Bar. We're in the coveted corner booth, soaking up a lot of Skip's revenue.
So, oh, is that what that was? I was afraid to look under the table.
Don't look under the table. Don't look under the table. I'm Patrick Evans. That other voice is Randy Florence, my spiritual guru and co-host.
You know, you're my spiritual guru now?
Really?
I haven't slept in about a week, but... I'm committed to this.
That's keeping you up?
It's keeping me up, but should. I'm committed to it.
It should keep you up. There are very good reasons for that.
I'm glad to be here again. And thank you for the weather. I know I'm always bitching about it when it's the other way, so thank you.
You always are, but no.
I won't bring up traffic speeds today.
You and Angela Chin are finally happy with the weather.
Which means we're happy with you. So that's what's really important. Hey, before we go any further here,
yes,
our producer, John McMullen, we're here on a recording day, and I'm really glad you're here, John.
I am very glad to be here, too, and I just want to acknowledge, first of all, as somebody who is a member of the Eisenhower E365 program, what a great program that is, and how many great physicians are a part of that program. But I also want to especially acknowledge somebody who I've noticed every time I go into his office that he has all of these Palm Springs Life magazine covers on the wall because he's been named to their top doctors list so many times. And that is my cardiologist. And I know that there are some other people at this table who've had cardiology issues as well.
What?
And I'm sure share...
Hey, my doctor had all those same magazines on his wall.
Similar feelings, but Dr. James Fitz, who is my cardiologist, performed really a miracle this past Friday. I went into the hospital on Friday morning.
By the way, that was, what, 4 days ago?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I went in the hospital Friday morning at 8 o'clock. I was in the operating room by 10 o'clock, and at 5:30, I was going home after they had performed a two-hour surgery where they placed two stents in my heart. I couldn't believe it because they gave me a Valium, so I wasn't, like, totally there, but I did watch most of the procedure on a huge television screen in the operating room.
No, thank you.
Now, I'm going to ask you a delicate question. Yeah. Did they go through the wrist, or did they go through the other entry point?
They actually prepared me at both.
Yes.
But they did.
I had that same experience.
But they did go through the wrist.
Yeah.
And the
other was just for their own pleasure.
That's right.
Exactly. More for the nurse than the physician. But yeah, and I have to. It's the miracle of modern science, and, you know, healthcare, that they can do that. That you can have this orthoscopic procedure done and go home in the same day. I was back in the office the next day.
Well, although ten years ago you would have been in a room for a couple of nights afterwards, they wouldn't have been shoving you out of the hospital.
Right.
Well,
it was amazing, and I just wanted to thank the great folks at Eisenhower Medical Center and Dr. James Fitz, who was this fantastic cardiologist who I've been working with now for a few months. And it seems like this particular issue that they found may actually resolve other issues that I have had in the past, including the two strokes that I had 5 and 6 years ago.
Holy cow. Lord knows you have a lot of issues.
Yeah, I do. And with that, I'm going to give it back to you.
Well, we're very grateful.
Thank you, Eisenhower.
You're feeling better, and that's terrific. And kudos to Dr. Fitz. It is pretty much a miracle how they do that. They put my stent in through my wrist as well. And it's
are they going to take it out at some point? This port here? And
no, that's where I put my Jack Daniels in that, too.
So. so you can keep talking during the podcast.
Otherwise, it interrupts the flow.
What a great idea.
It's a great idea. It's a great idea. We should reach out to Jack Daniels for a sponsorship. Just saying. Just going to throw that out there.
I think we should talk to our guest.
We should talk to our guest. I have to be on my best behavior.
He left 5 minutes ago.
He's like, I've got someplace to be. I have to be on my best behavior because Brad is my boss. We got Brad Furr from 103.1 MeTV FM, KGay Radio, and the Gay Desert Guide.
Welcome,
Hello.
Brad.
Well,
Hello.
Good afternoon. I'm only one of your bosses. You have many.
I have a lot of bosses.
Including your wife.
Yes, well, she is the CEO. But yeah, and you guys are subsidiaries of her, so.
Well, we spoke long enough hoping that Brad would finish his first drink.
I was just trying to get him tanked.
I'm waiting for the shots.
Yeah, well, they have to chill. Well, thanks for coming in, Brad.
Mm-hmm.
It's
great to be here. It's my first time inside Little Bar.
This is pretty cool, isn't it?
I love it. I'm always kind of amazed. A number of our guests have never been here before. And I mean, it's a little kind of, it's not really off the beaten path, but it's a tiny little spot.
Yeah.
And it's great. It's a great fun place. Skip does a great
Perhaps
job.
Perhaps we just wanted a place to drink where nobody would see us. And that's how we came to find
Early
a place.
Early in the afternoon as we're recording this.
Well, if I didn't day drink, I couldn't drink at all. I'd go to bed very early.
In all fairness, you start work very early in the morning.
That's true. Well, Brad knows this because he and I get to go and enjoy the Purple Room bourbon tastings from time to time. He's a bourbon aficionado as well. Mm-hmm. So, well, welcome to the podcast. You're no stranger to a microphone.
No, I am not.
Since you do weekend, you do Saturdays at 103.1 MeTV FM.
I do. You know, it's a labor of love. I had not been on the air for 33 years doing a regular radio
show. Is that right?
Yeah, that's how long it had been since I went from on-air to management in some capacity.
What did you do with that voice between those years?
Well, I did some commercials here and there. Yelled at the staff, right.
But with a really cool radio voice.
Hello. Yes. Damn you. Good day. No. My best Paul Harvey. So that was it. I mean, I had the bug to be back on the air again. And with technology, it's so easy to do it. You know, people ask, well, do you really go in on Saturday? I'm like, no, I record it in advance. Sometimes it's the morning of, sometimes it's a few days in advance. But technology really allows us to do a lot of things where it used to be, the last time I was in radio, you sat there and you had a 5-hour shift, a 6-hour shift, a 4-hour shift. And, you know, if you had 3 minutes to go to the bathroom, you were lucky in between songs. Unless you played Stairway to Heaven, then you had 6:55.
Either it's Stairway to Heaven or
anything by
American
Yes.
Pie. American Pie.
Yes. That was
the
good one.
The original cut.
As long as you had parts one and two on the same side of the 45,
that's
you
right.
were good. You know.
That was the bathroom song.
Those are the songs older DJs played.
If you had the inside information, you knew what was going on if they played American Pie. Like, had to go to the can.
Yep.
There you go.
There you go.
If they play it twice, something's going wrong.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Really bad. But you started in radio back in the Midwest.
I did at age 15.
Yeah, as a young man.
Yeah, it was right after my 15th or on my 15th birthday. It's within a day or so. And I just gotten my FCC license because back then you had to be licensed in order to get to run a radio station.
Yeah.
Because
just to operate the board,
just
right?
Just to operate the transmitter.
Really?
It was the transmitter. And so we had a 250-watt AM radio station. Your toaster took up more juice than that thing did. And a small FM radio station. The call letters were WBCH, Berry County, Hastings. That's my county and my city hometown. And we called it the Bitch 100. Not on the air, but we'd refer, especially years later.
Until you went to Sirius.
Yeah, exactly. So it was a great learning experience. In fact, I went back a few months ago. I was home visiting my parents. And I hadn't spent a lot of time in the radio station since I left. I mean, I'd run by occasionally and see people that I knew. But the owner's son and I are contemporaries. He's running it now. His father's since passed. So I went inside. I said, hey, Steve, can I use the studio? I've got to do my Saturday show remotely, and I didn't want to do it from my parents' basement, right? So I was
playing video games in there at the
right,
time.
So. Right. So Steve allows me to has me come in and sets me in the studio. And the whole setup of the place has not changed. And I started there 51 years ago.
Man.
My radio career started 51 years ago.
Wow.
So the rooms hadn't changed. Now, some of the equipment, thank God, had changed. there was a little newsroom. There was the studio, and then there's a tiny little news booth, and then there's a production studio. And there were windows between each one.
the newsroom still had the nails on the wall where you used to put the teletype copy.
Man.
As it came off the teletype machine, you'd have to peg, what we called peg the copy, and there was a national peg and a state peg and a sports and a weather. Those were still there.
That's hilarious.
And the burlap was still on the wall.
Oh, my gosh.
Thank God nobody smokes anymore in
there. At 15, you get this. Where did that come from? What was going on between birth and 15 that got you interested in this?
A lot of puberty went on there. Don't get too personal.
Okay, let's talk about the years before 10 to 15.
Yeah. So my dad was great at mechanical things, cars and things. And I turned on to electrical things. Like I would take phonographs apart and radios apart, even at an early age. There's a picture of me in 1963 when I was 5 years old sitting in front of a record player at my grandmother's. It's my first time being a DJ that I can remember at age five. But there was just something about radio. I went to a career day in junior high school, and the person from the radio station made the mistake of saying, come on down, you can sit in with me. Would you like to do that? Oh. Well, I spent a ton of time there. And then eventually they'd let me run the board a little bit, like, you know, turn something up or turn something down. I couldn't talk. And then they said, well, here's how you get your FCC license. And I studied for it. My mother had to drive me to Grand Rapids to the site. And she's like, oh, you know, it's cute that he's doing this, but he'll never pass. I passed on the first try because I really studied for it.
Confidence, Mom.
Yeah, I couldn't do that math today, but back then I could.
Wow.
That sounds pretty...
Yeah, and then the owner of the station, he and his wife owned the station. They went to our church. I dated his daughter for a little while.
On purpose?
Not just to get the job.
Oh, okay.
I can tell you. So I did get the, I just said to him, I would really like to work here at the station. And once I got the license, they were desperate for somebody to come in and do the Sunday morning church services. You know, who's the sucker that's going to get up at 6 o'clock on a Sunday morning and spend 8 hours in the studio running mostly church services? And, but I had the allure was I got a 5 minute newscast. I got to do weather every hour. Patrick, you can relate to that. And then I got to do a show for 1 hour in between the church services. So that was the big thing that turned me on.
What did you do between church? What was the format of the station like?
It was one of those middle of the road stations. We were like country part of the day, middle of the road during the day, and then at night it was either top 40 or it was album rock.
Okay.
And there was a place called Spex Howard School of Broadcasting in Detroit. A lot of great kids came out of there. They'd pay their money, go to this private school, and then Spex would try to get them jobs in small market radio stations around Michigan. And if they were worth anything, they would eventually figure it out and somebody would recognize their skill and they would start going to bigger markets. Well, one of the guys ended up in Chicago at WXRT. His name is Tom Marker. His wife and I went to high school together. He was a cradle robber.
if you're listening.
Yeah. And then another guy, John O'Leary, was a big rock jock in Detroit. And so I learned somewhat from emulation how to do this, listening to the other radio stations. I remember in the early 60s, listening to radio in my room and being just fascinated at night. I'd get up at night and turn the tube radio on and listen to stations all over the country. So it started super early for me.
I used to have my little transistor radio under the pillow bed so I could lay there and listen to it all night so my parents wouldn't catch me listening to the radio.
It was always amazing to me the number of stations from, you know, so far away that you could get after the sun went down.
Oh, in the Midwest?
Anywhere. Yeah. Yeah. But, you know, I used to listen to WLAC in Nashville, Tennessee. 15 LAC, and it, you know, boomed 50,000 watts north. Then I heard Canada, CKLW and WJR, and WLS was one of my favorites. And our program director for KGA, Chris Schiebel, worked at WLS.
That's right.
And we met just before he went to WLS up in Wisconsin, where we both worked at the same station. So we've known each other almost 50 years ourselves. But it's been a fun career.
You ended up going to Central Michigan?
Yes.
Was there any point where you were considering, this is all I'm going to do for the rest of my life?
The Chippewas. The mighty Chippewas.
The mighty Chippewas.
The mighty Chippewas of Central Michigan.
That's right.
Was there any point where your parents said, no, you're going to college? Or was that your plan?
No, it was my plan. In fact, I went for journalism and broadcasting. Right. I thought I might want to be a newspaper person, writer, you know, et cetera. It's a good thing.
Aren't you glad you didn't do that?
Yeah, because I'd be out of a job sooner than I'm going to be.
Well, we're all
that's
going
a great line.
Each of our mediums a little slower than the other.
Oh,
I think.
My gosh.
You got to get a podcast, and I know you've done it before,
done
but
it,
this
yeah.
is the future.
Yeah, it really is. That's what I. That's what iHeartRadio is building their whole platform on. They're killing their radio stations. I was just having dinner with a friend of mine who works for them. He's just leaving iHeartRadio, and they're blowing up a lot of their terrestrial radio stations, and they're really putting a lot of focus on podcasts. I don't necessarily think that's the right way to go, but you know,
I don't even like podcasts.
And we're doing one. But,
well, I like this one.
This is the one I don't like. But no.
Oh God! It is. It's an inner. You know, look, when radio and television, our local radio and TV, are done right, we know what happens.
Right.
People continue to engage, and they like what we're doing. It's important to their lives, to their daily lives. And when you make it a jukebox, or you make it a company that doesn't invest in your news product, then the listeners or the viewers know that, and they don't care.
Yeah. Right.
They got 100 other choices where they can see a dog video or a cat video or listen to music.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you can, you know, and I look at the way my kids listen to music and watch television, and it scares the hell out of me because they're certainly not watching any broadcast news of any kind.
No.
And, you know, they're on Spotify. But I agree with you in local radio. And I think you really committed to that with K-Gay. And tell us a little bit about the foundations of K-Gay and how you could, because you've been involved with it twice.
Right, right.
And so, kind of the first time around, it wasn't the right formula, but then you came in and kind of fixed the things that were wrong with it.
Yeah, we did. The first time we had it, it was under a nonprofit called Coachella Media. The organizers of that nonprofit really tried to make it into a radio station that was both music and talk, but they had some big ideas for a podcasting platform. And they wanted the community to support the radio station as a nonprofit organization. But it was also a commercial station, so selling commercials, doing all those things. But the nonprofit really never got off the ground properly. And I don't think their heart was maybe necessarily in the right place on the nonprofit piece of it. And I stepped away after about a year. It just didn't feel right to me. And then COVID hit just about a year after that, and the nonprofit fell apart. The radio station stayed on the air. It had a skeleton crew. They hired a non-LGBT program director. And so the music wasn't what it was. All the air personalities pretty much went away. And just as we were coming out of COVID, I was approached by one of the owners who I became very close to. And he's still a great mentor of mine, Greg Smith. And he came to me and said, you know what, we're ready to sell this. And I really wanted an LGBTQ hands again. And so, you know, I'll make you a deal on the radio station. And I was lucky enough to get an Idol loan because it was right out of COVID.
Right.
And I was able to purchase the radio station and, you know, get the band back together, as they say. And well, so
Greg is a great guy. I worked with him because he owned a couple of different stations, including KGN 104.3. And
yes.
I did 5 years with him there. Mm-hmm. And he's a great mentor, and he knows so much about the radio business.
Yeah.
And a fascinating guy.
Yeah, he really is. He's got a great background in radio. And, you know, this is really a labor of love for me and the crew. I put K-Gay together as a public benefit corporation, which you may know as a B Corp, like Ben & Jerry's and Patagonia, some of those corporations. And I did that because I wanted purpose over profit. And while we're a music station, we're all about fun and, you know, entertainment and what's happening in the Valley. You know, now even more so, we're about issues and things that are happening to our community, rights being taken away, and some of the things that are happening in the world that are making it harder for the LGBTQ community, all the different letters, to exist peacefully.
There may never have been a more important time for you to be here.
And in the coming years. Right. And so we take our responsibility for that very seriously. We are, you know, trying to continue to get advertising dollars and support for the station. And it's a tough environment. I think anybody would tell you right now that there's a lot of uncertainty in the world, and that is translating into our tourism community here in the Coachella Valley. And so, therefore, advertisers get a little more nervous about investing their dollars anywhere. Advertising kind of gets cut back first. And so we're seeing a little bit of a pullback there. But there's plenty of other people that do want to advertise and do want to support us, and we're very fortunate.
I want to talk to you a little bit about that other stuff here in a couple of minutes, but let's go back to when you launched the program.
Yeah.
Talk about that day. That had to be pretty incredible.
So we launched KGAY on Christmas Day.
Right.
And we were playing Christmas music. We stunted, which was something you do in radio. You go from the format, and then usually you do something like play the same song over and over, or play the sound of waves crashing, and the radio station launches within a day or so, and people are like, what's that going to be? But we did it on Christmas Day. We started playing Christmas music, the Gay Men's Chorus of Los Angeles and Palm Springs Gay Men's Chorus songs and all this weird Christmas music that we found, stunted for a day. And we were going to turn it on. I think Chris and I were going to do it like on midnight on Christmas Day. And we finally said, that's enough. We got to change. So I think we cut over to KGAY at like 3 or 4 in the afternoon on Christmas Day. And that was our launch.
Yeah.
And then we immediately got some good press on it, both television and in the newspaper. And
the New York Times was talking about you.
Well, they did a few years ago. Yes, yeah. That was more recent.
Okay.
But it did kind of go into our history. And so they were there actually on our Christmas show like a few years later after we'd launched. Mm. So it was... it was an instant response. It was very much, Love Shankar was part of the morning team with John Taylor and Chris Schiebel, our program director. And then we had our local DJs, DJ Galaxy and DJ Eric Ornelas. They were doing the mix shows. So we had a really nice, we still do have a nice presence of those people. So we really love having those people with us.
Jonathan was one of our guests on the program here, and he's a fascinating guy. Great stories.
Yeah. Yeah.
Personally, that must have really meant something to you when you flipped that switch.
It did. And, there's times when we get choked up about talking about it. You know, we think about all the people that came before us that didn't have rights and didn't have the ability to be who they authentically were. And that's a big responsibility that we take on, because now we're trying to make it safe for people growing up, people coming out at whatever age they are. They may be in their 50s or 60s. They may be a 15-year-old kid somewhere listening around the world, because we do stream this thing worldwide. And they're hearing stories. They're hearing, the fun we're having and the events that we're doing and the fundraising that we're doing. But they also hear about the serious topics, some of the things that are... really a problem in our community, and we try to address those things as well.
Well, this dovetails with the work you've been doing with Gay Desert Guide here mm-hmm. in the Coachella Valley, and that's been how long now?
12 years.
12
we just
years.
Hit our 12th anniversary.
Wow.
Yeah. Yep, and that's what I started with. And, radio had been my career since I was 15, but I got into, after the radio stations, I worked for a company called Emmis Communications. They owned the Mariners at one time. They owned radio stations around the country, and they owned the Los Angeles LA Magazine and Power 106 and a station Rick Dees was on years ago. They were, in the early 2000s, they were trying to figure out if the internet was a business, or was it just entertainment? Like, was it just something that, a hobby that we would do? We'd have a website for our radio station. And so our company formed a division that I was a part of called Emmis Interactive. We learned about what was happening with the internet. We experimented and tried to get the audience engaged in doing things online, but we found out that radio was a huge driver of people to websites. Not only our websites, but that whole .com boom and then bust, most of those places were advertising on radio because people would instantly go to a website they heard about on the radio.
Yeah.
And so that information, that training stuck with me. I started working with publications like Palm Springs Life. I did a little stint with them, training their team on how to be more digital forward, because print was their whole thing. And out of that, I did a business plan for Milt Jones, and I said to Milt and Frank, I'm like, you know, I really think you should do an LGBT guide like you do the guide, the free monthly that everybody gets. And they looked at it, and they said, great idea, but you know what? We think we're doing a fine job covering everything that we cover. We don't think we need anything special. If you think it's such a good idea, you should go do it yourself. Okay, okay, I'll go do it myself.
All right.
And they, by the way, they've been very supportive over the years. Milt and Frank were both very supportive of what I started. And so that happened, and then the radio station came along as this nonprofit. I was asked to be on the board, and then they asked me to manage it. And so that just kind of ended up dovetailing the two together back then, and then it became all one company when I was able to buy KK.
You sleep, don't you?
Sometimes.
Not a lot.
Now, sounds like he's constantly moving.
For people who are not familiar with the Gay Desert Guide, tell people, you know, basically the format and the gist of what you do there.
So it's a website for the LGBTQ audiences mostly, and it's an events guide. It's articles, places to stay, things to do. You know, it's a lot of things that the rest of the public would do. The Palm Springs Aerial Tramway, the Air Museum. You know, it's not like we have the corner on, you know, specialty things. But we certainly like to bring the highlights of the positive things happening in our community. And there's also a business directory, and that was an important piece of it because we wanted consumers to know what businesses were LGBTQ friendly,
right,
which ones were accepting of us, and which ones were really LGBTQ owned and operated.
Right, the LGBTQ owned part of that is a really big deal.
It really is, as is if you're a member of the Desert Business Association, our LGBT Chamber of Commerce. And so we like to do business with those who appreciate and want to do business with us and support us. And so that's why I created that business directory. And it's been a very important part of what we do. And now we also do a visitor map and guide that comes out 3 times a year, and thousands of people pick that up.
Yeah.
And it becomes, you know, just a really nice way for people to know who to do business with and who to support.
Do you have a sense for the mark you've made in this valley?
You know, there are times, yes, that I do. I think about, you know, you think about It's a Wonderful Life, and, you know, you look about, like, what would happen if I hadn't been here versus what I had, having been here. And I think, you know, the website, it's utilitarian. It's not the bells and whistles that the radio station is. And I know that the radio station especially has had big impact, and I don't take any of that for granted.
As a young man, was there any attraction to Palm Springs? Did you know anything about the area?
The first time I came out here was on what's called a fam trip, a familiarity trip, when I was living in Chicago working for Windy City Times, an LGBTQ publication. They said, look, we've got this this little travel a junket that you can go on. And by the way, why don't you try to sell them some advertising for our magazine, too? If you go on the junket, you can sell them ads and, you know, all will be well in the world. So I did that. I went out. I came out to Palm Springs, 2001 summer, of course. Right?
Right.
That's when they have all these junkets.
That's when they
June.
They're cheap.
Yeah. And they're like, oh, no, it's really nice when it's not 120. But, you know, we went
But every day it's 120 right now.
Oh, the Visitors Bureau used to do a weatherman's conference, and they would do it in August. Oh. And they bring in weather people from all over and convince us That's to go awesome. On the air and tell people, oh, no, it, you know, it sounds hot, but it's great.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat.
It's a dry heat.
Oh, man. So we did the tramway. We did Indian Canyons. We had to visit every one of, you know, this is, I know it doesn't sound like a tough job. We had to visit every one of the clothing optional resorts.
Oh, no, that sounds really, really hard. How many times did you have to do that?
No, every morning started off with them picking us up, taking us to two or three clothing optional resorts where the owners would drone on about, you know, and there wasn't much happening in the morning, so it wasn't
it's
like
cold.
You were really, yeah.
Can't
we had
see
women,
anything.
We have women with us there, too, you know, and they got to see. They got a little show sometimes. And then we would go on our merry way for the day. So that was my first exposure to Palm Springs, except that my great aunt and uncle had a place in Desert Hot Springs in the 70s and 80s. My parents used to come out here all the time.
Wow. So many people that is their connection to the valley. Like, you know, some
nude resorts.
Yes.
Do those still exist in town, by the way?
Yeah, there's still
there's
few.
One for sale.
There is one for sale.
Boy, it didn't take you too long to say yes.
It's a swinger resort.
Yeah. It was a
my keys.
Gay resort.
Yes.
And then they changed their business model to a straight swinger resort.
Did they tell the previous guest? Hey, there's going to be a change on Monday.
That would have been an awkward thing in the pool if all of a sudden.
What are you doing here?
They didn't want that kind of surprise.
Yeah, I got it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. So
there are a couple. There's still a number, but it's interesting because I read an article predicated on the sale of that resort. And I can't remember what the name of that resort is.
It was called All Worlds years ago.
Yeah.
That's not Porcupine Creek?
No. It's not. Yeah, since
just trying to confirm.
Porcupine Creek is clothing optional. Try that on the golf course. But it said that, you know, times are kind of changing for the, you know, certainly for the swinger lifestyle, but also for the gay clothing optional resorts. There.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, well, they've reduced. There's not as many. There's a dozen left, roughly.
I mean, is there enough shade?
You can't say that they've fallen on hard times because that sounds.
Oh, that's, no.
That's inappropriate.
The Boulevard of Broken Dreams.
Dreams.
All right, but so we spent 20 minutes on the nude resorts.
Well, I want to talk about, so you took over K-Gay, and I'd been doing radio, and I like to do radio along with the TV.
Yeah.
And I kept pitching to Brad that I should do a show, and he said, well, you know, really, we are particularly invested in keeping our staff LGBTQ, and I totally understood that. I told him, I said, well, what if we said I'm bisexual and I'll do a swing music show, and we'll call it Swing Both Ways with Patrick Evans. I think that's a great name of a show.
The Gate.
Luckily,
Randy, you should have introduced Patrick to Terry Ray earlier.
Oh my.
Yeah.
I don't think Terry thought I needed to.
Terry still says you're...
I start class on Saturday.
Oh, boy.
Okay.
So Randy's been taking acting classes with Terry.
I know. I heard. Yeah.
Terry's
a great teacher.
Oh, he's
fantastic.
Yeah. But Patrick, finally, back to you.
But you said, hold on, because you had in mind that you were going to expand your radio operations, and you got the 103.1 station.
Yeah, the station people knew was Sunny 103.1. It was CBS owned it for years. It was the only radio station they had in this market. They'd already sold to a company named Entercom. They were running another LGBT format called Channel Q. I didn't want to have a competitor, so I bought my competitor. And that's a very flippant way of saying it. But you know, the station had kind of lost its way. The Channel Q, they were doing some really good LGBT talk for a while, and then they let a lot of those people go and lost their way. And so I said to them, you know, you only have one station here. Would you consider selling? And so I was able to purchase it. And you were like the first person I called.
And it's a great format. I said, of course, yeah. I was like, no, Brad, come on now. Now you've got a station. And it's a great, you know, mainly 60s, 70s, 80s. Occasionally a 50s tune shows up. But, you know, it's predicated on the MeTV format, which is, you know, nostalgia.
Yes.
And so
we're not going to have an emo hour.
No,
Andy Griffith. Yeah. We're just going to play the Andy Griffith theme song over and over.
We'll just
Gilligan's Island.
Gilligan's.
Yeah, Happy Days. That's all we play is TV theme songs. MASH.
There's a story about that.
What?
Yeah.
Somebody thought that's what we did?
Yes. Yes.
Do you know who it was?
I do know who it
was. Okay, I don't remember who it was.
It was the GM at a competing television station.
Oh, that's right. Now I remember. That's right.
Well, can you narrow it down more than that?
No.
But
there's only one other station.
Oh, my God. I'd forgotten that. That is so funny.
Brad was trying to engage because the MeTV signal is owned by a different station, and he wanted to kind of partner.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy basically said, I don't know. That just doesn't, like, it just plays TV themes. I don't know how popular it's going to be. Like, that's not what it does. But I'm grateful that didn't work out because you have a good working relationship with KESQ and with me. And I'm on, by the way, 10 to 3, Mondays through Fridays.
Yeah.
103.1 Me TV FM. Come on and listen.
Yes. And I love having you on.
It's so fun, though.
I mean, you haven't played any of my requests.
That is correct.
He has full, he can do whatever he wants.
Hey, you're the owner of the station.
He can do whatever he wants.
Who do I complain to?
All you got to do is click a button and you can find any song and put it in if you really like.
We were talking about the technology, and it is amazing. The voice tracking technology is really remarkable because you can plug in virtually any song, and if you don't have it, you can upload it. Like, I did a lot of that. It was like, hey, we need this song, and you plug it in. Move stuff around, voice track, and I always do my show like day of, so I think it sounds pretty live. I mean, people know. I mean, I'm on TV and radio at exactly the same time.
See, I wasn't that smart to figure that out because right after he started, I call him. I go, "Hey, can I come and watch you record the show?" And he's like, literally at KESQ when I'm talking to him.
But it's great fun, and that's a great station. So, but tell people. So you kind of gave the background, but tell people about the MeTV format, because that's a national format.
It is a national format. It started out of Chicago. A friend of mine, Neil Sabin, who runs Weigel Broadcasting, and they do all these formats. They do all these cartoon networks and all these fun TV formats. And he had an old iPod that he used to just put on shuffle. It had all of his favorite songs on it. And at some point, he's like, maybe I should create a radio station out of this. They had a frequency in Chicago and literally kind of took this really broad format of music. And, we actually have narrowed it down a little bit because, the music between Chicago and Palm Springs is different. People have different tastes. And so I've narrowed it down a little bit, but we use their voices and their specials and all the fun things that have made MeTV special.
Wow. Well, it's a fun format.
It's
great fun.
Yeah. This obviously in this town, you recognize having Patrick Evans on is a draw to the station.
Yes.
But in other towns, could they do what he's doing with AI at this point? And is anybody doing that?
Yes. I can upload 5 minutes of any of our voices, and the AI machine will be able to, whatever you type it, it'll sound exactly like it's our voice. It figures out the nuances by 5 minutes of your voice being read in. What I want to do is have Paul Harvey come back and do the news.
Paul Harvey could do our news. That would be
our
phenomenal.
News can. Wouldn't that be fun? Be like 3 seconds of gaps in between, but you any voice you want. Yeah.
Page two.
Are you? Good day. Are you starting to look at that for any tool?
We are. I desperately want to do news on MeTV FM, and it's an expensive proposition to do news. I'm considering some options around AI-generated newscasts because I know where to find the content. For example, Mark Talkington and the Palm Springs Post, and you can pull some information from the Desert Sun with attribution.
Talking about Phoenix. And
well, or it's a day late, or it doesn't get published till Monday.
But other than that.
Yeah.
Well, I'll just throw this out, though. You should come in and talk to Cade, our news director.
I know. I know Cade.
You know Cade.
Yeah.
So we've had bourbon together.
Yes,
but
we have.
I think there's a great opportunity there. But the AI option does make it far less.
It's very inexpensive to do something with AI. And, it is a moral and philosophical thing in some ways, right? Do I do news because it's the right thing to do on the radio station, and yet I don't hire somebody, a real human being, to do that, and I give it to AI? Is that something in AI's infancy that I'm comfortable doing? I'm really not at this point.
It's daunting, and it's scary.
Yeah, I kind of wonder, like, the voiceover industry. I mean, is that going to last?
It's almost decimated already.
Yeah.
John Taylor, our morning guy, has done a lot of voiceovers for video games and things, and TV, movie trailers. Most of that business has gone away.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's really sad.
Yeah, everybody's cool. going to be doing a podcast.
Yeah, we've almost got AI Randy ready to go. So
he's probably better looking.
It is ready.
John pushes a button and I'm out of here.
The ejector seat.
So we started to get into this, and we're not a political show, and I don't want to go that direction. But I do want to talk about, you're in a special place in a special geography, and you mean something to this community.
Yeah.
What's the community feeling right now, and what support are you providing? Mm. I mean, I read some stuff there at one point. You were even concerned that maybe the call letters would go away.
We are concerned that there could be FCC blowback in some concern. You know, I was just talking to a good friend of mine that in, you know, up in San Francisco, I think it was KCBS, the news station.
I know that one.
They were overhead at an ICE raid early on. We're reporting on this ICE raid, and somebody called somebody in Washington. The FCC did an investigation. This news reporter's contract was close to being up. They did not renew his contract. He was fired, and it put a chilling effect. It's the old chilling effect on them reporting anything like that in the future. And, you know, we're a target. Being with KGAY's call letters, we're definitely a target. And I don't know, I try to be positive and think that they won't come after us, but I don't know. And, you know, how is the community feeling? I think we're all really nervous. I think we're on edge. And we're on edge about everything. You know, we've got a great police chief in Palm Springs and Andy Mills. And
another podcast guest, by the
way. Exactly. Yes. Yeah.
He's been on. He was terrific.
Yep. And, you know, we worry about, you know, the potential for violence at Pride and things along those lines. But we know somebody like him really has our backs. Yeah. And so, you know, we feel like we're protected from that standpoint. And at the same time, you don't know when the other shoe is going to drop. What could potentially happen? We had that big explosion in Palm Springs that was something that no one would have thought. It was like this fringe thing. Who would have ever thought?
Because that wasn't when I'd even heard about before.
Right. Yeah. Right.
Yeah. That was totally insane.
I don't want anybody to be alive, so let me kill some people.
Right.
Yeah.
Just the oddest thing.
But you're right. Who would have thought that would have happened in Palm Springs? Right.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, you're seeing it on, you know, CNN and other national news, you know, because it was a big deal.
It was a big deal. And it brought light to, you know, the dark corners of the web. And, you know, we know that when something, even, Patrick, something as innocuous as a story that you might do on KESQ that is an LGBT bent to a story or an LGBTQ story, a pride story, sometimes until someone wipes these out, some of the comments that are on the...
Pretty disgusting.
Are really disgusting
comments. Now, these people have crawled out of the woodwork, and I see it, you know, because we, you know, obviously on Eye of the Desert, we do, you know, just today, I had Michael Green on talking about Cinema Diverse, our LGBTQ film festival.
Right.
And it does, like, now it seems to invite commentary.
Yes. Social media, mostly commentary, but sometimes just on your own site. And, you know, you try to scrub that, but you want people to be able to comment. And at the same time, some of it has such vitriol and really threats. There have been some things that have been online. I don't know about you, if it's your station or just somewhere in general, but the police have had to investigate some of the comments because they've been threats.
Yeah. And I have no, you know, all of us who work, you know, we have access to, it happens a lot on our Facebook page.
Yeah.
And I have zero problem hitting the ban button.
Yeah, right.
I see, you know, it's like you only have to tolerate so much.
That's right.
And it's easy to cross a line, and I can justify banning somebody from
easily.
And it's just like, absolutely not.
Yeah.
So is it affecting the way you're doing business on a daily basis?
I think it's affecting business. I think people are more nervous about advertising right now, not because of who we are, but I think there's just a general pullback in the community overall. I think that we're all nervous about our returning tourism dollars from Canada. The European tourists were down this year, it appears. So, you know, I think there's just a general kind of pullback in the marketplace until we get our until we really know for the next couple of months if people are coming back or not. We don't know.
I assume if Vegas has another few months of losing business, that people are going to start screaming and everything will change.
Okay.
I don't know that Vegas is losing business for the same reasons.
Their traffic is down 60% in the airport over the last couple of months.
Is it really?
Oh, yeah. No, Vegas, okay. Vegas yeah. Yeah. had
I think it's directly months. Impacted by people not coming into the country.
Yeah, six months of each month has been successively down in Vegas. Yeah. That is true.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see what this, you know, we're on the cusp of season here.
Yeah.
What that season is going to look like, and will the Canadians return, and that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Well, first of all, thank you for what you're doing for the community, because, again, not necessarily part of that community, yeah. but yeah. I certainly
Well, you're an
understand.
Ally. We're allies.
We're all allies. I'm thank adjacent. You. I well, take lessons from Terry Ray.
According to I'm Terry adjacent. Ray, you're really close to crossing the
He's working
crossing
on it.
Over.
He's working on it.
Hey, but I'm in the pool
John's
at,
in.
At yeah. the gay resort.
There,
the clothing
you go.
Optional
yeah.
resort.
John, oh, there
knows.
Is one.
John knows.
Anyway, as somebody who cares about the community. Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank
yeah,
you for
I,
what you guys
and
are doing.
I appreciate you having me on and having some really frank discussions about this. And we love telling our story. I love telling the story. I've got a great team. We have almost 20 people that are doing some kind of work for us on the radio station and on Gay Desert Guide. And in addition to that, there's another 15 to 20 people that are voices for us. And the voices you hear on our commercials are mostly LGBTQ voices from around the country of people we know in the industry who we pay per commercial. We pay them a little bit, but they still love doing it, and they love being on the gay radio station. So.
Are you being approached by media outside of the state to talk about what's happening in our community right now?
Haven't been recently, except, no. You know, the New York Times article last year. We did something with the L.A. Times, but one was on our history. The L.A. Times was more on tourism about a year ago, but not necessarily not commenting on what's happening in the world. We might as we get closer to Pride, but there are many other people that can speak for us. Ron DeHart, our mayor. There are some great people in town that can certainly speak to that, too.
You know, you're a businessman in this community. And you employ a number of people, but you do important work. Do you consider yourself an activist?
Somewhat. Thank you. Yeah. Somewhat I do, because I've been involved. I've been in the protests that have been happening. So I will go out to protests. I'll make comments on social media. I will advocate for the rights of those who are marginalized. So, yes, I really do consider myself in that category.
Well, I know that, you know, each week you send out an email,
mm-hmm.
and you always kind of open that with a little preface.
Yeah.
And I think your comments have been very cogent and appropriate and important.
Thank you.
And people
Thank
should
you.
Subscribe.
Yes. Thank you. GayDesertGuide.com.
There you go. GayDesertGuide.com.
So what would you like to talk about coming up? Pride's obviously coming up.
Yeah, I think,
up,
you know, the main thing is I think Pride is going to be our big thing. I'm really looking forward to the three memorial monuments, tributes to our LGBT community. They couldn't be happening at a better time, and the fact that all three will come online this year, the AIDS Memorial in our downtown park, the monument, the Pride Monument, that is happening, Jim Iserman, I think it is, that's doing that one in Francis Stevens Park. And, of course, the 65-foot flagpole yes. on Arenas
yeah.
that emulates the one that is in Hillcrest in San Diego. All three of those in this year it's an amazing thing.
Yeah.
And then we have the Plaza Theater with some great LGBTQ artists.
Right, absolutely. And, you know, John Bolton and his team doing a terrific job
mm-hmm.
Programming that, putting on some interesting stuff. When you travel a bit, we kind of live in a bubble.
We do.
I mean, we feel pretty insulated from some of the changes that have occurred, and a lot of other communities don't have that mm-hmm. that insulation. Are you seeing that when you travel outside of the Palm Springs area?
I I do. I hear more about it because I haven't been to Florida, for example, in a number of years. It's, you know, I haven't boycotted them completely, but they're not really on my hit list at this point.
Right.
But, you know, you think, you see what's happening there where a crosswalk has to be eradicated and, you know, that books are taking out of schools and all these things that are happening in these states. It's just a really sad state of affairs to see that happening. So I don't know. It's
hard not to be an activist.
It
during
is
the
hard.
Times.
Yeah, it really is. Yeah. It really is. Even our, you know, I think Chris Schiebel, our afternoon host on KGAY and our program director, you know, he now comments freely on some things that are happening in the news on that particular day. Sometimes he pulls stories from, you know, Peter and what you're doing on the air on the TV station, or sometimes it's just from, you know, ripped from the headlines. I mean, it's there every day. There's more and more terrible things that are happening, and we're trying to, and he does it in a he tries to put a little bit of a humorous spin on it at the end, but at the same time, most of what's happening is just
it's not just funny.
Yeah, it's not funny. It's, yeah, you just have to try to put a little spin on it the best you can.
Well, thank you. There's also some bravery behind what you're doing in this town too.
100%.
So thank you for that.
100%. And it's so important. Yeah. I think the other thing about KGAY that we haven't mentioned, or at least not really emphasized, it's fantastic music.
Oh, really good music. Yeah.
Well, thanks.
You know, I grew up in the late 70s wearing a pair of Angel Flight pants and taking disco lessons with my wife. So I love the music. I had a little strap here to put my wallet in.
Oh, gee.
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, so for a little while, I've been going to the Rinker Wellness Center over on Eisenhower's campus and been doing these workouts. And KGAY's been the music that's been on.
That's
and
perfect.
It's so great for that. Like, it's just, it's such a great station to listen to.
Well, I hope in the area of Eisenhower that I'm allowed into, I hope they're playing the same music.
What areas are you allowed into?
Well, I'm just not allowed into Rinker, so.
Why not?
That's where all the wealthy people go.
No, this is the wellness center.
Okay.
Not that part.
Oh, I mean, I've been in that part, too.
Yes,
that's really nice.
Visiting people.
I've seen the robe.
Yes, but that's
beside. Did you take the robe?
I did take the robe.
I took a robe.
You had to take it.
I did.
If they're going to wheel, they made me, you know, sit in the wheelchair to be, so I just didn't.
Well, after what I did to the robe, there was no way they wanted to keep it.
Oh,
no,
dear.
That's lovely. Thank you. Thank you for that.
On that note.
Yeah, on that note.
Good gracious.
Thank you. And good night.
What, you said, you know, you're entering a bit of a challenging business environment, and I think that's true for media in general. Particularly, I think radio is facing some headwinds.
Yeah.
How do you tackle those challenges?
You know, I think that the tough thing is, you know, there's an industry that's in decline. I think we're really doing a lot of things right, and that is community service. You know, live air personalities are real, you know, real people in town, and really putting money into the product, right? And I was with a good friend of mine last night who just is leaving iHeartRadio. He's been with them for 15, 20 years at a very high level there. And one of the reasons he left is because the powers that be, very high up in the company, basically said, you know, we want to give you a higher position, but in doing so, you're going to have to make all these cuts at the radio station, air personalities, producers, wow, marketing people, all kinds of things. And he said, if I take this position, I can't make those changes. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to give it up. I'm going to not renew my contract. And I'm going to suggest that you take the money you'd save from me and find ways to keep those people.
Wow.
And it was a brave move, and
that's
I give
very
him
brave.
Yeah. That's also an unusual story.
It's a,
nowadays.
It's really a great story, and you know, I think the really the problem with radio with many of these big radio companies is they're playing way too many commercials. The commercials are bad. You know, it's kind of like the stuff you see on your website sometime with the, you know, the belly fat people and all that. Yeah. Like some of the stuff that just shouldn't even be on websites or on radio or TV, those ads get on all the time. But there's too many commercials, and they don't invest in the product anymore. They really have given up in investing in the product. You know, look at Howard Stern. Like, Howard just came back to his radio show. He's doing gangbusters on Sirius XM. Why? Because, you know, he's topical, he's interesting. I'm sure it's keeping hundreds of thousands of people subscribing to the to Sirius XM that may not, because it's just music channels primarily, a lot of talk and a lot of news. But it's something really unique about Howard Stern being on Sirius XM. And, you know, radio stations need to find what's unique in their home market. You know, we don't even have a news station on radio anymore in this market. Our talk station is primarily right-wing syndicated programming,
yes,
with very little local programming. And you know, that catches up with you. People notice and people stop listening. And, you know, it's death by a thousand cuts. It really is in our industry and radio and television both.
Radio and television, but, you know, TV, yeah, we always talk about the, you know, more people aggregately are watching, but they're watching a million different places.
Yes.
And, yeah, you know, each year we battled to keep that audience, and we're lucky. I think live sports and news, no one wants to time shift those. You're not going to,
right?
Yeah, you know, and you, right, want to, you don't want to watch a football game on your phone. I mean, I will if I have to,
but
yeah, you really want to watch it. I mean, that's why I bought a 70-inch TV so I can watch the football. And so those sorts of things, I think, will help prolong our industry's life, mm-hmm, a bit.
Well, but let me ask you both, you guys, I'll ask this question. If I'm coming out of high school,
yeah,
is there any reason I'd want to try to get a broadcasting degree right
no.
now?
No.
No.
So there's really what the issue is. Well, we've got a finite amount of time
this
here.
This is an interesting, that's a really, and I think Brad can speak to this as someone who manages more so than me, but at the television level, you know, 5 years ago, when we were hiring for a position, we'd have people beating down the door. They wanted to be on TV. Every kid that came out of, you know, out of USC or Arizona, or, you know, anybody that had a broadcast degree, they wanted to be on television. And we had 20, 30, 40 applicants for any opening.
Hmm.
Far fewer applicants for openings now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of people who get into television decide, I get the same audience gratification by my Instagram account.
Right.
You know, it's really interesting,
right,
that people are, you know, if that's the itch you're trying to scratch, you know, likes and audience growth, you can see that and they can monetize it.
Well, you know, I told you, my 13-year-old granddaughter was talking to me about acting, and she says, I'm interested. Can we talk about it? I go, well, what do you want to do? Do you want to be theater? Do you want to be movies? What? She goes, oh, not theater. And I said, well, why? And she goes, not enough people will see me. 13 years old.
Wow. Yeah, well, I mean, that's one of the really big downsides of social media.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We're kind of trained people to 100%. See that.
I know.
Yeah. But by the way, I'm an influencer. I make $50 to $60 a month off of my Facebook account. So
every time I post or I like, you're making money off of
that
me?
That is correct.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I'm going to get you to subscribe.
You
want to
show me how to do that?
it is a challenging business.
Yeah.
But I applaud you because you're persevering. I think this market is special.
It really is. At Palm Springs, the whole Coachella Valley area is really a special area, and I've really enjoyed my time here. You know, it's funny, we reconnect. Like, John and I have known each other since the early 2000s, and there's many people that I've known over the years that have made their way here or visit here or spend a lot of time here that I've had connections with over the years, and they find it to be a very special place, too. They absolutely love visiting here. Some really love being here full-time, some just part-time, but it is a very magical and special place, and you know, like anywhere, it has its issues and its faults, and it's too hot in the summer. But
but if it weren't too hot in the summer, a million people plus would live
here.
So
right. Thank God we're not Vegas.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny? Like, there's enough land out there. We could have been a Vegas. Thank God that didn't happen.
Yeah, I'm delighted we're not that. I'm delighted we're not that. I think one of the important things about what you do is that you are very invested in the community. And so I just want to encourage the folks who are listening to this podcast to support Brad and his endeavors. Subscribe to Gay Desert Guide, gaydesertguide.com. Listen to KGay. Listen to 103.1 MeTV FM, especially between 10 and 2.
Hold it. You're on until 3.
Oh, that's right.
Sorry.
10 to 3. You're on 9 to 2 on
9 to 2 on Saturday.
Yeah. So make sure you're listening to Saturdays as well.
Thank you. Well, thanks for having me on. It's been a lot of fun.
Hey, it's been a delight. Thank you, sir.
Well, and to your point, to those of you listening, this is a really important time and a really important organization. So,
thank you. Good timing, very, very good for us being on. And I'll be sure and share this.
Awesome.
That would be terrific.
On my Facegram account.
Well, support those people in our community that support the community. I think that's very important.
Yeah, absolutely.
So, thank you.
Well, thank you. Brad, thank you very much for coming in, spending some time. Randy, thank you. I know it took time out of your busy retirement schedule.
I'm working on learning a scene.
Oh, my. You got acting.
I got a lot of work to do.
John McMullen, we're just delighted that you're feeling good. You're back.
Yes. Thank you.
And, John, stop it. Just stop it. We need you here.
Yeah, whatever you're doing,
there's nobody
stop
who
it.
Needs me here more than the medical industry.
Well, that's a good point.
So they
have a vested interest in keeping you around. That's awesome.
On behalf of Randy Florence, John McMullen, our guest Brad Furr, I'm Patrick Evans. Thanks for listening to Big Conversations, Little Bar. Be sure to subscribe so you never miss an episode. Our thanks to Skip Page and his whole entire team here at Little Bar for taking care of us. That entire team today is Katie.
Hi, Katie.
Thanks, Katie. And thank you all for listening.
Big Conversations, Little Bar is a production of the Mutual Broadcasting System. This podcast is available in audio and video format. Visit our website at www.bigconversationslittlebar.com. New episodes are released every Monday.
Athletes and dreamers, stars of the screen. Big conversations, little bar.